As I said at the beginning, we celebrate today the mystery of the Trinity. The mystery of a God who is one and yet who is three. One God, three persons. And we call that Trinity, even though you'll never find that word in the Bible. But what you do find in the Bible is Jesus talking about the oneness with the Father and how the Spirit will be sent forth from Him and the Father and how they will dwell within us. And we find St. Paul talking about Jesus as Lord. So the Bible gives ample testimony to the oneness of God and yet the threeness of God. I think there's a tendency in the church today to sort of dismiss or at least not focus much on that concept of Trinity. And I think it's happening because it's such an abstract thought. Or maybe for some people it's just too philosophical. Or if I can't comprehend it, I'm not going to try to deal with it. And yet, if we could comprehend God, God would not be God. The one who can comprehend is always greater than the thing that is comprehended. And so, if I can understand God, then I would be greater than God. God must always be mystery to us. He must always be more than I can comprehend, more than I can understand. But that doesn't mean we can't reflect upon the mystery, that we can't strive to deepen what we can know about the mystery. And the church has done that through the centuries, trying to reflect upon, to grow in our understanding of this mystery of the God of ours. This God who loves us. We can also praise this God and worship this God. That is what we're called to do. To realize the greatness of God and our lowliness. And to give praise and worship, adoration and glory to the God who has loved us, who gives life to us. You know, in the Catholic tradition, what we do with the mystery of the Trinity is included in our prayer. You know, in our prayer, we always begin, or almost always, you know, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then we begin Mass by saying, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. All of those are bringing in that mystery of the Trinity. The mystery of a God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. If you go on to the glory to God, which we just prayed, or sung, it starts out with the Father. It moves to talking about the Son. And then it concludes with the Holy Spirit. In a few minutes, we'll pray the Creed. Again, we have that same thing. It begins with the Father. Speaks about the Son, and it goes to the Holy Spirit. I'd invite you to be attentive to that prayer as we pray it this morning. It's an ancient prayer. It comes out of the Council of Nicaea in the year 325. And that prayer has been part of the church ever since then. It was the effort of that church at that time to try to grapple with that mystery. The mystery of a God who is one, and yet a God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. And that was the formula of faith that they were able to come up with at that time in the history of the church. But if you go on in the Mass, you'll find that, again, that concept of Trinity is scattered throughout the Mass. You know, the Eucharistic prayer always begins referencing the Father. But then it brings out that the Son is the mediator, the go-between. He is the one who takes our prayer, our praise, our worship, and presents it to the Father. He is the one that intercedes for us. He is the one who gave his life for us. And then it moves also into the Holy Spirit. How the Holy Spirit is our source of unity. And the Holy Spirit is the power that transforms the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. That mystery of the Trinity comes out throughout the entire Mass. And of course, it ends with a blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That mystery of Trinity penetrates the prayer life of the church. But I think the most important truth that we need to hang on to is the one that comes to us in the first letter of St. John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. It's a little longer than I usually read at Mass, but I want to read this because it's so essential. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loves us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. This is our faith, that this God who is totally beyond us, this God who has always existed and will always exist, this God who has no need for us, who is sufficient in himself, chose to create us. And then when we rejected him through sin, he has chosen to redeem us by sending his Son to come among us. And that Son came to gather us to himself and bring us back to the Father so that we can share the life of God for all eternity. That is the extent of God's love for us. We who had not earned it, who had not deserved it, who was not worthy of it, God has reached out to us to share his love, his life with us. And we will share that if we are gathered into that heavenly kingdom. We will share that for all eternity. That is the mystery of the Trinity. God who loves us so much that he would not abandon us, but became one of us to gather us to himself and to give us life forever.